Colossians chapter 3, and I'm reading verses 15 to 24. Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since, as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And a few rules for Christian households. Wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving.
For leading us through very meaningful remembrance service.
Why do we remember? Why do we remember? We remember because those people gave their lives and are still giving their lives so that we can live the life that we live today. We are very privileged in this country to live in freedom, to live free from, generally from violence. That's why we remember. But you know, as Christians, we have that wonderful hope because we know that our God has won the battle. He has won the victory. He is the victor. We might be in battles, in spiritual battles at the moment, but we know the ending. We know the ending. We have that hope. So Frontline Sundays, we are on the front line. Thanks,
Jenny. Our lives.
Let's not have that. Let's go to the PowerPoint. Thank you. That was an introductory video, but I think we'll dispense with that. We'll go straight to the PowerPoint. Thank you. Yeah. Our lives. Front line. That's what these sermons have been talking about. What our focus is, what we're calling our front lines. It's basically our everyday life. We're not just Christians. On a Sunday, we are Christians the whole of the week. All of our lives is about following Jesus as Christians. I've actually got a 1-minute story, but I thought as I was going to stand up to preach, I wouldn't take anybody else's time. Keith and I have been away in Wales this last week with our son Jonathan doing a bit of DIY with him. But we did spend some time going out and about, and he took us to, it was part of the Taff Trail. So it was this country park, and we were walking. It stopped raining. It did stop raining. And we were walking through this pine forest. And we had to stop at one point because these pine trees, they were absolutely amazing. I had to take my glasses off because I don't know if you're like me, if you've got reactive lenses, sometimes the colours look a bit different. So I had to take my glasses off because at the bottom of these trees was this sort of green, real sort of emerald green, and it was absolutely amazing. As we were looking at this, I then noticed that there was this, all these twigs and branches brought together to look just like a teepee. All these branches were leaning in on each other just like a teepee. Now, do you remember the last time we heard the word teepee on a Sunday morning? Barry?
No.
I think it was you.
Probably.
Scattered and get mixed.
Oh yes, I remember now.
Yeah.
I remember now.
Yes. Do you remember back in the end of September, we were looking at a map of Swindon and the little dots that represented where each of us lived, and I asked you to think about can you see a shape or anything in there? And we had a couple of things, but I think it was Barry that said it was, you could see a teepee. And, well, I hadn't forgotten what you said, but I did, you know, on the day I was thinking, teepee, yes. But then looking at this structure in this forest, where all the branches were leaning against each other, the only reason it was standing up was because they were fitted in and they were supporting one another. I really felt God was saying, as church, that's what we need to be. We need to be supporting and encouraging and fitting in together. And that's the way our church is going to stand. That's the way we are going to be church here, if we're supporting and encouraging one another. And actually, that's what all these frontline sermon are all about, is about how do we support and encourage one another when we're not here on a Sunday morning. The reading that Barry read to us, most of the people listening to this reading, it was written to the Christians in Colossae, most of them would have been household slaves. Now, in a way, the slaves would have been the people that kept the Roman Empire going. But you can just imagine, as they became Christians, they'd be thinking to themselves, or maybe thinking to themselves, you know, I'm just a slave. You know, what is the purpose of my doing what I'm doing? You know, my daily tasks are insignificant in the long run of things. How can I be important to God just by being a slave? Maybe if I was something else, maybe if I don't know, if I was working somewhere else, or I was able to talk to other people, maybe I could make a difference. Maybe that's what you're feeling like today, what your daily life is all about. Maybe you're thinking, what use am I to God? What's the point of what I do? How do I make a difference? How do I bring God into where I am? Did you notice in our reading that the phrase, whatever you do, is repeated? Firstly, after verse 17, which is all describing how we worship, it then says, whatever you do, worship. What if you could see Jesus here this morning? What if he was standing right at the front? He could hear every song that we sang. He could listen to every prayer that we prayed. He could see every gesture, every eyebrow raised. What a difference that would make to our worship this morning. And then in verse 23, the Apostle Paul, after talking about family and work relationships, he says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. The point is here is not defining behaviour on status. The point is, because of our relationship with Jesus, because we are followers of Jesus, we behave with respect, with courtesy, with love, as if relating to Jesus himself. But actually, it's primarily not about how we behave. You ask any child, or you watch any child who's told to be on their best behaviour. It doesn't last very long, does it? It's difficult being on your best behaviour all the time. But if you were to read John 15, which is all about Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches, you'll notice that in John 15, he doesn't encourage his disciples to bear fruit. Is that right, you say? Yes, it is. Rather, he urges them to remain in him, the source of life. Leslie Newbegin puts it this way: the fruit is not the artifact of the disciples. It is the fruit of the vine. It is the life of Jesus himself reproduced in the lives of the disciples in the midst of the life of the world. The presence of fruit is the visible evidence of the fact that the branch is part of the vine. It's not about trying to be more loving, trying to be more patient, trying to be more gracious, more generous. It's about understanding who we are and whose we are, and choosing to make our relationship with Jesus a priority. Doesn't that take the pressure off? We don't have to always be looking to say the right thing or to do the right thing or to quote the right scripture. We need to be ourselves. So how do we make our relationship with Jesus a priority? That's the crux of the point, isn't it? Well, like any relationship, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes commitment. And there's a couple of good places to start. Firstly is reading your Bible, taking time to allow it to speak to you, to find out who Jesus is. You know, the Bible is all about Jesus. Even the Old Testament, you can see Jesus in the Old Testament. It's good to get into the habit of reading the Bible. And there's many ways you can go about reading the Bible. Firstly, do it regularly. A lot of us will read the Bibles daily. If that's not something you do, if that's something you'd like to do, then there are things that can help you do that. Come and have a word, and we'll put you in the right direction. But reading it every day, or at least reading it regularly, getting started. It's about knowing Jesus, and the Bible's all about Jesus. And it's good on occasions just to meditate on a small portion of the Bible, sometimes even just one word, and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us through that. It's good to meditate together on a passage. You know, often in our prayer meetings, we'll just take a small passage of the Bible and meditate on it. And this Thursday, as Maureen said earlier on, we'll be looking at the beginning of Colossians 3. So if you're going to come this Thursday, why don't you have a look at Colossians 3, and we'll be dwelling on the word, allowing God to speak to us together. Yesterday morning, our church council had a training morning away together. And we began by looking at the passage of scripture from Romans 12, just the first two verses of Romans 12. And we read the Message version. Now, you'll know that I'm not a fan of the Message version, but sometimes it's really, really good. And sometimes it's good to read things that you're not familiar with, and it can just help you see a different dimension, a different aspect. And there was one phrase in the Message version of Romans chapter 12 that really hit home to me. And that phrase was, embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Just think about that for a minute. What has God done for you? Whew, where do you start? Just think about Jesus and his life, his death and his resurrection to start with. Not to think about all the personal things for you personally. He has done so much. Just that one phrase. So reading the Bible is a really good way of working at our relationship with Jesus, of making that a priority. And the other thing is prayer. Prayer, that's our communication with God. It's how we talk with him, how we hear from him. Again, there are many different aspects and types of prayer. And some of us have been through the prayer course, the video course. If you haven't, we're hoping to have a regular evening in the new year to go through the course again. Be aware that that's taking place. If you want some advice on or some directions on how to pray, then if you've got access to a computer, go to theprayercourse.org and right on the front page is it says Toolshed. If you click on Toolshed, you get about 24, 25 different documents helping you with different aspects of prayer. It's wonderful, absolutely wonderful. But one of the ways of praying that we have found useful is what we call soaking prayer. Let me just read you something. You're a mashup of the things that you let into your life, says Austin Kleon in his best-selling book, Steal Like an Artist. And actually, you know, you just look at children. They take on mannerisms. They take on accents of places and the situations where they are. It's easy to see how we absorb things. So meditating regularly on God's goodness, saturating our consciousness in his love, we're going to become like him. And that's what we aim to do in soaking prayer. It's a time where we're not coming to him with a list of things to do. We're coming to him and saying, this time I've set aside just to be in your presence. Just come. So in the words of the Apostle Paul, we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. You know, the more we gaze on the Lord's glory, the more we gaze on his face in prayer, as Moses did on the mountain, the more our lives will begin to reflect that glory in the valley below, soaking in God's presence. In the words of Pete Gregg, it's showing up, shutting up, and looking up, wasting time with God, enjoying and returning his love unconditionally. These are spiritual disciplines. But with any relationship, you need the discipline of perseverance, of keeping in there, of getting to know one another. And as church, as that supportive network, we need to be encouraging one another to do these things, encouraging one another in our relationship with Jesus. We need to be asking those awkward questions. You know, when did you last read the Bible? What did you last read in the Bible? How has it changed your life? These should be questions we're asking each other regularly. When we get together as elders, we start with worship, but then we have a time of, you know, what have you read this week? How has it changed you? What are you doing about it? Purposely making sure that our relationship with Jesus is going somewhere, that we're getting deeper. You know, over the summer I've read 3 books by Pete Gregg on prayer, and I'd recommend each one of them to you. Red Moon Rising, Dirty Glory, and How to Pray. They're all very easy to read. He tells lots of stories. But I want to share with you one of the stories that he does tell. It's kind of third hand, because it's as Pete recalls his friend, who was a Franciscan priest, talk about the founder of the uncloistered monastery he was in. This just illustrates, I think, what I'm trying to say about our relationship with Jesus and how we live the rest of our life. This is what Pete says. Or this is what Pete says, Brennan says, if you see what I mean. He's talking about Dominique. Dominique, a lean, muscular 6'2", always wearing a navy blue beret. He learned at the age of 54 that he was dying of inoperable cancer. With the community's permission, he moved to a poor neighbourhood in Paris and took a job as a night watchman at a factory. Returning home every morning at 8 a.m, he'd go directly to a little park across the street from where he lived and sit down on a wooden bench. Hanging around the park were marginal people, drifters, winos, has-beens, dirty old men who ogled the girls passing by. Dominic never criticised, scolded, or reprimanded them. He laughed, told stories, shared his candy, accepted them just as they were. From living so long out of the inner sanctuary, he gave off a peace, a serene sense of self-possession, and a hospitality of heart that caused cynical young men and defeated old men to gravitate toward him like bacon toward eggs. His simple witness lay in accepting others as they were, without questions, and allowing them to make themselves at home in his heart. Dominic was the most non-judgmental person I've ever known. He loved with the heart of Jesus Christ. One day, when the ragtag group of rejects asked him to talk about himself, Dominic gave a thumbnail description of his life. Then he told them with quiet conviction that God loved them tenderly and stubbornly, that Jesus had come for rejects and outcasts, just like themselves. His witness was credible because the word was enfleshed in his bones. Later, one old-timer said, the dirty jokes, vulgar language and leering at girls just stopped. One morning, Dominic failed to appear on his park bench. The men grew concerned. A few hours later, he was found dead on the floor of his cold water flat. He died in the obscurity of a Parisian slum. Dominic never tried to impress anybody. He never wondered if his life was useful or his witness meaningful. He never felt he had to do something great for God. But he did keep a journal. It was found shortly after his death in the drawer of the nightstand by his bed. His last entry is one of the most astonishing things I've ever read. All that is not the love of God has no meaning for me. I can truthfully say that I have no interest in anything but the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. If God wants it to, my life will be useful through my word and witness. If he wants it to, my life will bear fruit through my prayers and sacrifices. But the usefulness of my life is his concern, not mine. It would be indecent of me to worry about that. After an all-night prayer vigil by his friends, he was buried in an unadorned pine box in the backyard of the little brother's house in Saint-Remy, a simple wooden cross over his grave with the inscription, Dominic, a witness to Jesus Christ, said it all. More than 7,000 people gathered from all over Europe to attend his funeral. 7,000. Through years of gazing on the Lord in silent prayer, Dominic had been transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. In Dominic's eyes, the Paris slum had become a holy place, not just a mission field, but a sanctuary populated with broken people whose ordinary lives reminded him of Jesus Christ. The amazing thing is this, that God chooses to take our lives, our very ordinary lives, our very mundane lives, and to weave them into his purposes. And the more we can take that seriously, the more we can resist the lie that infects our imaginations about what God really thinks is important. It means that our everyday relationships, our everyday plans, our everyday actions matter. Nothing is wasted. So whatever you do, preparing the accounts, changing the nappies, baking the bread, clinching the deal, teaching the class, writing the new software code, serving or drinking in the coffee shop, talking to friends and neighbours and carers, caring for elderly relatives, attending doctors or hospital visits, waiting for work to appear, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Being a follower of Jesus means we bring everything under his lordship, however small those things may be. It means that our everyday relationships, our everyday plans, our everyday actions matter. Nothing offered to God is wasted. So let me ask you, what are you going to be doing this time tomorrow? Well, let's just broaden that a bit, because this time tomorrow is three T's, that sort of sits nicely, but you know, sometime during the week doesn't quite sort of sound the same, does it? What are you going to be doing this week? Who are you going to be with? What people are you going to be talking to? Are you going to be talking to any people? Maybe not, maybe you are. Do you believe that everything you do, right down from doing the washing up to talking to that person who needs encouraging, to, I don't know, doing some great business plan or something, do you believe that everything you do matters to God? Well, let me tell you, it does. It does. And actually, as it matters to God, it should matter to the rest of us too. As the body of Jesus in this place, we should be just as concerned about each other during the week as God is. Now, that might be a difficult thing to do, because we're all, as we saw earlier on, all scattered into very different places. But there are things that we can do to help us, remind us about the rest of the body here. And one of the things we can do is, on your chair, you should have had a little card and a pen. Anybody not got a card and pen? I'd just like us to think about, during this week, not necessarily this time tomorrow, but maybe this time tomorrow, during this week, where will you be? What will you be doing? And who will you be with? And then, how can we pray for you? And what I'd like you to do is, on the back, maybe just pop your first name, and particularly write something about how we can pray for you. And as each of us does this, I invite us to pop it in the basket, and then before we go, just pick up a card. So it'd be a random card, and then you'll have somebody to pray for this week. So I'd just like to take a few minutes to do that, and then I'll pass the basket around.